It's a few of us in here this morning, but I give my love to each and every one of you. And we trust the Lord will bless our time together. Let's bow our heads. Dear Father, we come before you again, dear Lord, depending on thee. Depend on thee for strength, depend on thee for anointing. We depend on you that you will help us in all that we need today. Be our voice. Be our everything. In Jesus' name, amen. The thought today is Christ. And if you'll notice, it has apostrophe S on it, which means possession, right? When you put apostrophe S on something, that means you that belongs to someone. So today we want to talk about belonging to God. Christ in this word means that something belongs to Christ. We are Christ. We belong to Christ. And so, what does it mean to belong to Christ? What does the effect of belonging to Christ have on our lives? Let's read Galatians 5 and 24.
Galatians 5 and 24.
Yes.
And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and lust.
Affections and lust.
With the affections and lust.
They that are Christ's. They, we could reword that as they that belong to Christ. It says they have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. So, when we belong to Christ, there's going to be a difference. We're not going to be the same as we were before we gave our heart to God. But it's a blessing. Do you know that it's a blessing to belong to Christ? You know, sometimes a person might feel, oh, I'm in the Clay family. And you kind of feel a little special, right? Or I'm in the Brown family. They probably feel very special. Or the Thompson family. Because you are part of them. Well, when we are a part of Christ, we have special privileges. Did you know that? We have special privileges. There's a lot that we get. Sometimes people, when they get saved, before they get saved, people look down on you and say, oh, you're just old fogey. You live like that and you don't have no fun. You do this and you don't do that. But they just got it wrong because we have much joy and peace. And there's so many blessings of being Christ, belonging to him. One thing I can say is a happy life. I am happy 24/7. I do have sorrows like other people, like, you know, but I'm still happy in the Lord. There's so much to be saved. When you give your heart to the Lord, you have such a great privilege. And you know something else? You have peace inside. You don't feel guilty about things that maybe you did this or didn't do that or should have done this and shouldn't say. And I'm not saying that we don't make mistakes, but we crucified the flesh with its affections and love. Lust, we're not committing sin. We leave the sin business alone. But then there's another way of looking at how we are blessed. Because Christ cares about us. You know, some families are dysfunctional. And they it's not much of a privilege being in that family because there's always something going on wrong. But when you belong to Christ, everything goes right. You have trouble, but God is there with you. And Christ loves you. We're kind of like his sheep. You know, Christ said Jesus said he's the shepherd. And you know how the shepherd cares for the sheep. Well, Christ cares for us. He doesn't allow things, nothing that comes to us, he doesn't see it. It doesn't escape his eye. Sometimes a parent may have a child, a little child, a toddler, and they are so busy. They might get in trouble. I've seen them. They start messing with the electric plugs and stuff. And I believe I saw one child start to put something in one of those. Sometimes the parent don't, maybe it's busy and doesn't see it. But Jesus, you can't get so busy that he doesn't see what's happening. And he's going to protect you. And he's going to, like the parent, when they notice it, of course they're going to move the baby away from the plug, take the little whatever they were getting ready to put in the plug, or they may even put little safety things over it. Jesus cares for us, and he's going to protect us, and he's going to keep us from the enemy. Because the enemy, the devil, will set traps for us. He does. He sets traps. But the Lord is going to watch us and keep us from going into those traps. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and read verse 22 to 23. We want to see how much we are privileged. What a privilege to be Christ, to belong to him. He has so much for us.
1 Corinthians 15.
Yes, 22 and 23.
For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For every man is his own order. Christ the first fruit, afterwards they that are Christ as his coming.
We are Christ. We belong to him. And God is going to take care of us. Jesus is, and going to make sure that everything will be all right. It says, but every man in his order, Christ the first fruit, afterwards they that are Christ at his coming. It's, you see, it's just like Christ comes and then he brings his us, because we are his. Just like you invited to a wedding or something, you might bring yourself, and then you bring those that belong to you, your children and so forth. That's the way Christ is. We're going to be a part of whatever he has for us. Now we want to look at John 10 and verse 1 to 5 and then 5 to 15. We want to see how that the Jesus takes us as the sheep. He loves us so much. We're like his sheep. And he cares for his sheep. And so,
John
10 and 1 to 5.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that endureth not, entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers.
So see, Jesus is the shepherd, and we are the sheep. And when he calls us, we'll follow him. If we live for him, we will follow him. And it says that they follow him, and they won't follow a stranger because they don't know the voice of the stranger. Now let's drop down to verse 7 and read all the way to 15.
Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly.
Yes.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep.
You see how much, how beautiful it is to be Christ. He didn't just care for the sheep, and then when something come, he flee away. But he laid down his life for us. He died for us. He cared for us just that much to die for us. But even today, whatever we need, he's going to supply that need. He's not going to turn his back on us. You know, sometimes we'll have friends and we think we can trust them, and then we talk to them, and then they'll go so far, and then sometimes they'll turn their back on you. Say, no, I can't do that. I can't go that far. But Jesus won't do that. He will go all the way for us. He'll do everything he can. If we need something, he's there to supply our needs because he's our shepherd. He's watching over us, and he's protecting us day by day. I just thank the Lord. We do a whole lot of road driving. But you know, Jesus watches over us. How we get from point A to point B is because of Christ. He loves us. We belong to him, and he takes care of us. Now let's read Psalms 23. Some of us could quote it, but let's read it. 1-6. Let's look how this shepherd takes care of his sheep. And Jesus is the shepherd. The scripture says, the Lord is my shepherd. Remember that scripture? I shall not want. The Lord. Jesus told us that he's the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. Where? In green pastures. He doesn't take you over there in that thorny place that's all rough and you can't hardly get anything from him. He takes care of whatever we need. So it says, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He's not going to lead us into confusion. Still waters is calm. Confusion is something rough and always going. That's not God's way. And it says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. The way Jesus is the shepherd, he's our protector, he's our leader, he's our guide. He's our everything. He can give us and help us with everything we need. There is nothing that we need that he will not supply. Now, sometimes we have wants, and that may not be a need, but if it's a need, he's going to supply it. And so this scripture says, he leads me in the paths of righteousness. He leads you in the right way. The right way is God's way. He does not lead you in confusion. He does not lead you in darkness, but he leads us in the right way. Righteousness, that's holiness, that's right living, that's doing the right thing. Jesus will lead you that way. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. We're all going to die. We're not going to be here forever. But even though we go through the valley of the shadow of death, he's going to be right there too. He said, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You know what the rod and the staff is? It's the word and the spirit of God. He has his word, the Bible. He gives us that. That's our food. He will give us comfort and help through the word of God and through the spirit of God. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, sometimes somebody might come up in your face and argue with you or say something really not nice to you. And do you know the Lord can give you comfort from his word? He can help you. You don't have to retaliate back. You don't have to be arguing back. You don't. Much as you think you do, you don't. Because the word of God, we can feed on the word of God, and the word of God will help you. A soft answer turns away wrath. That's from the word. He'll give you his word to feed on in the time when the enemy is right in your face. And he said, thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we are his shepherd, these are the privileges we have from him. When we are his sheep, I mean. Let's go now to Psalms 27 and read 11 and 12. And that one I could say by heart, but I won't. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemy. So God will lead you in a plain path. He will lead you as to what is the right thing to do. Sometimes you might be faced with a problem and you don't really know what to do, but Jesus will give you the answer. He will lead you in the right way. Maybe somebody tell you, I think you ought to do this. And then someone else tell you, I think you ought to do that. You need to get from God. Lord, what is the right way? David asked the Lord to teach me thy way, O Lord. Ask the Lord to teach you and lead me in a plain path. The Lord will not lead in confusion. If something is confusion, you better believe it's not the Lord. Because of my enemies. Deliver me, verse 12, not over to the will of my enemies. For false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. You know, we have a privilege. He will take care of us. He will deliver us, and he will lead us in the right way. Now we're going to go to Psalms 31 and read 1 through 5. So it's a privilege to belong to God. The best thing a person can do is to give their life to God.
That's Psalms 31 and 1.
Yes.
In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for thou of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have privily for me.
Yeah.
They have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me.
Yes.
Thou art true.
Amen. So you see, we can depend on the Lord to keep us from the snares. Sometimes people will try to trick you and tell you to do certain things, and they know that they're not right. But you know what? He said, deliver me speedily. And so he will deliver us. He'll pull us out of the net. He'll keep us from being tripped up, maybe from someone or maybe from the devil himself, because the devil is always trying to figure out a way to ensnare us and trip us up and make us do something wrong, because he knows that if we do wrong, we're going to go to hell. But if we do the right thing, we'll go to heaven. The devil is out to trick us and to trap us and to get us to do the wrong thing. But our shepherd is going to watch over us. Jesus is going to help us. He's going to deliver us from the snares of the enemy. Let's go to Galatians now, 3:29. We can claim the promises of God. We can claim the benefits that we have in Christ if we give our heart to God. It's going to take something on our part. Everybody in this world, Jesus died for them. But not everybody can take advantage of the benefits of Christ, being Christ. They have to be in Christ. We have to live for Christ in order to get the benefits.
If ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
You ever heard of being an heir? An heir is somebody that going to get the benefits of the person there. Like, for instance, your father is rich and he has plenty of money. Then you being the child will be his heir. And when he dies, then you get whatever he has. That's an heir. So if we're Christ, we're going to be heirs and joint heirs with Christ as well. So we're going to get benefits from God because we are Christ, because we gave our heart to the Lord. I tell you simply, because we gave our heart to the Lord, we become Christ. And once we become Christ, then we can reap the benefits of being a child of the King. We're heirs with Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ and heirs of Christ. We have the benefits from God because the fact that we are His. So let's look at some of these benefits we get. Ephesians 3:8. What are the benefits? They are spiritual, but we also get some temporal benefits too. Because when we belong to Christ, we're going to reap heaven. We're going to go to heaven when we die. And we also are going to be able to live in this life free from sin. And he's going to help us in our daily walk with him, daily problems, daily things we have to deal with. And you know something? There are some temporal benefits too. We can ask the Lord, for instance, if I don't have the money to pay such and such, and I need it, I can ask the Lord, and he can supply my needs. Or if I don't have enough food, he can supply food. God can supply what I need, whatever it is. Ephesians 3:8, anybody got that?
Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ.
The unsearchable riches. You just begin to, what I want to say, understand the goodness of God. Salvation is so real, and it's so wonderful, and it has so many benefits. The unsearchable riches. Sometimes, you know, if you want to depend on my riches, they're very searchable. It's not much. But God's is just, there's no limit. That word unsearchable means the unlimited riches that God has. Ephesians 2 and 7.
That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
You see, not only in this life, but in the life to come, we're going to reap the benefits. Right now, we're reaping it in this life, but it goes beyond this. It's eternal. It says, in ages to come, on and on and on. Eternity is so long. We just have, at our best, at the very most, people only live like, what, 80, 90, 100. You don't hear of people living 200 and 300 years anymore like they did in Bible time. But even with that, that's just like one day, because the Bible said, one day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day. So our lifespan is very short compared to eternity. But if we live right, we're going to reap the benefits, not just now, but in eternity. Colossians 2, verses 2 to 3.
That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge.
See, it's treasures in salvation. It's great treasures in salvation. We just get started, so to speak. When we get saved, we just get started to understanding a little bit about the treasures, but it's great treasures in salvation. Philippians 4 and 19. Mm-hmm.
But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
See, that confirms it. He shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All of them. And Ephesians 3:17 to 21, we're going to see how far these riches are. I mean, how much we can get from him.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church of Christ, in the church by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
That he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. You think it and it's righteous, he can do it. Oh, so we see these riches are so big, it's unsearchable. Let's go now and we want to make sure that we do our part. Sometimes some children feel, there's a word for it, I can't think right now, but they feel like you owe them something. You ever been around?
Entitlement.
There you go. They feel entitled. Like, you know, I'm a clay, and my dad owes me this. It's like, you know, no gratitude. It's just kind of like the rich young, I mean, not the the prodigal son. Father, give to me all that, you know, belongs to me. And he did. He gave it to him. He divided his heritage to him, and he went out and he squandered it. But there are a lot of children like that. And I think sometimes we as human beings, we're almost like that with the Lord. Like, you know, he owes us something. I didn't ask myself to be here. I'm here, so I need this and I need that and I want this and I want that. But you know what? I don't think we should have that kind of attitude. And it's not right. God doesn't owe these things to us. He does it for us because he loves us. But he doesn't owe it to us. But really, to be honest, we owe him. So these children that's all thinking, you know, well, I got to have, dad's going to give me a new car. And it's like, it's nothing. He said he's going to do it, so he's going to do it, and I'm going to get it. And it's almost like they're entitled to this because they are clay. I use the word clay because now nobody else has to say anything. But in reality, you don't. They don't. They're not entitled. If they get it, it's a blessing. But it's not that you're entitled to it. And so we don't want to have that attitude toward the Lord. Like, you know, like the Lord has to do things. He has all these riches, all these benefits that we can take advantage of. But then there is something on our part. I had someone tell me how that their parents raised them. What happened was when they finished high school, the parent made them responsible. They didn't just give them the car, put the gas in the car, and let them just drive it like they want. They made them pay, put the gas in. They made them, I think she said, to pay to use the car. And, you know, I thought about that. I said, you know what? That was good. Because then it teaches them that, number one, when they have to pay, they might be more careful in using things, but it also gives them a sense of responsibility. And I just feel like we need to have that kind of attitude toward the Lord. Lord, you have provided all these things for me. I appreciate it. If it wasn't for you, I couldn't even breathe today. I couldn't have got out of my bed today if it wasn't for you. I couldn't even talk or stand or do anything if it wasn't for you. This is the kind of attitude we need to have. And then we need to be willing to live for God, to do the right thing. He let us see today. I opened my eyes and I could see. I could have opened my eyes and couldn't see anything. So we need to do our part. Let's go to Romans 15 and 3. There is no compromising with Christ. We must live right if we want to gain his benefits.
Romans 15 and 3. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me.
You see how Christ himself, he was the Son of God. He could have He left his riches to come here for us. But he could have come here with a high and exalted attitude. I'm the Son of God, and you are going to listen to me and all this, but he didn't come that way. And he didn't, and not only so, he respected the Father. He didn't just try to please himself. He tried to do what pleased the Father. And we need to do the same. And when we are Christ, we're going to have that attitude. John
8:28-29. John 8:28.
Mm-hmm.
Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall we know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things, and he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, but I do always those things that please him.
See? Jesus set the example for us, and we should do the same. Not do things just our own will, but as the Lord wants us to do it, we want to do what he says. When he says in his word, thou shalt not steal, then we don't want to steal. Or when he says in his word other things we should and should not do, like if the first scripture said, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with his affections and lusts. There are things in the Bible that God tells us to not do. And there are things in the Bible he tells us to do. And just like Jesus did not try to do his own will, but that of the Father, he didn't even use his own words. His words was what the Father said. We should do the same. And in John 5:30 says, I can't of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. So, as Jesus did that, we should do the same. Not seek our own will, but whatever the Lord wants us to do, that shall we do. Whatever the Lord wants us to say, that shall we say. And so I want us to be encouraged that we are Christ, and we have a privilege to live for him. And we have a privilege, lots of things that he has for us, but then we have a responsibility as well. We have two more scriptures. I want to go to Hebrews 13 and read verses 20 and 21.
Hebrews 13 and 20.
Yes.
Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. So he's going to work in us the will, and we want to do his will. That's the main thing, doing the will of God. In 1 John 4:16 said, and we have known and believe the love of God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hate his brother, he is a liar. For he has not he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. We want to be sure that we love like Jesus loved. So when we belong to Christ, this is the life that we live. And I desire your prayers that I'll be faithful unto the end.